The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So let's get started on this, guys. It is Monday, April 27th. It is approximately 5 p.m. Eastern time. And I want to welcome our podcast audience, our YouTube audience, and our Facebook Live audience as well. Today, I want to be dealing with the subject of Dawn of the Red Dragon, the Rise of Draconian Surveillance. Again, if you're just joining us, we're going to be going over some headlines today, and I'm going to be talking about the Dawn of the Red Dragon, the Rise of Draconian Surveillance. So again, hope everybody's having a good Monday afternoon where you're at. Again, April 27th, we're almost out of April. We're heading into May, which means a lot of places are now beginning to open up again. I know Georgia on Friday opened up fully. As far as I know, they opened up a lot of businesses there, a lot of controversial measures that were made there. I know for us here in Indiana, we on May 1st, there's going to be a measure of opening up as well. So while all this is going on, let's talk about some things that are going on at the epicenter of where all this began, and that's in China. There's a report right now that is indicating that as of right now, that China has reportedly placed a city of 11 million on lockdown as the country is now contending to prevent a, quote, second wave of coronavirus. According to reports from the Daily Star, among others, the city of Harbin in northern China has now become the latest hotspot after a woman unknowingly infected 70 others after testing negative for COVID-19. A 22-year-old student, Han, had come back to China from New York a month ago. She had experienced a 14-day isolate and demonstrated no manifestations of the virus. According to reports, Harbin health specialist stated that she was a, quote, silent carrier. And it went on to say that not being aware that she had been infected, she went on to infect her neighbors who then hosted a gathering. Again, this is in China where all this began. One of the guests that attended this meeting was later taken to the hospital with a stroke, which then led to the infection breaking out at two local hospitals, according to a report from, again, a local affiliate there out of China. The virus has now gone on to infect 70 people at least, and this was as of the report of this a few days ago, including patients in Inner Mongolia and in the Liaoning province. Harbin has reported 52 active confirmed cases and 23 asymptomatic infections. As a result of the new infections, the city has now implemented a, quote, strict lockdown with gates to all communities and villages remaining locked down and guarded. Citizens have been asked to wear face masks when stepping out of villages as well as having their temperatures checked. Public events have been canceled and gatherings have been banned. Again, this is the latest coming out of at least one province of China who's now warding off what they fear is a second wave. Now, keep in mind, this we're heading into May on our calendar. And we all know the draconian police state measures that was implemented in China for at least 60 days and shut down large portions of China when this thing first broke out. And some of these measures that they took was frightening and chilling, to say the least, the measure of control. Now, this comes after some things that we're going to talk about here in just a moment. But now what I want to show you today is, are we beginning to see that trend move from China to now here in the United States of America? So we're going to talk about that today. Here's some interesting stuff that I want to bring out and show you today that we're going to talk about. According to Forbes magazine, China, the country that initially banned coin offerings and put a very difficult measures on Bitcoins, has now implementing the idea to begin to build its own digital currency. Listen up. Again, I want to say that again. China is now in the process of creating its own digital currency. And what's interesting is they're going to do this with the help of United States, three major chains in the United States. Let me read the rest of this here. Some U.S. multinationals are reportedly willing to help roll out this digital currency that's in the making. This is according to the South China Morning Post. And again, other American affiliates are now picking up on this. Starbucks, McDonald's, and Subway that you see right there on your screen in China are named on the People's Bank of China's list of firms that will, quote, test the national digital currency in the near future. So this thing is being tested. This is in the beginning initial testing phases of this. I don't know if you guys have not seen the quiet storm that's been brewing when it comes to rolling out a cashless society. I mean, even when this pandemic began, when it was first initiated, we saw where there was reports of China that was they were sanitizing large portions of their currency because of fear of spreading the coronavirus through paper money, through paper currency. And then there were some reports that was even so radical that what they were reporting that there was some currency that was actually being burned. And then when this thing came over to American shores, we even saw some retailers and some companies here in the United States that were discouraging customers from using paper money. And they wanted to use credit cards and other forms of pay. Pay by phone, pay through some kind of paperless currency. So here again, we have China, who according to reports, digital currency is a generic term that may or may not be cryptocurrency. Cryptos are decentralized by design and also used for their privacy, something that is, according to the Chinese government, this particular currency, once referenced to as the digital yuan, will also be given a test at Chinese hotels, convenience stores, bakeries, bookstores, gyms, and a, quote, city being built south of Beijing. No date for the release has yet been set. So this is all happening in the process. It's in the initial stages. It's rolling out. China has been talking about this for at least a year now, and it is unclear how those three U.S. brands were chosen. I'm going to say that again. It's interesting, or it is unclear, how Starbucks, McDonald's, and Subway were the three main companies, probably because they're the three giants that are known not just in America, but all across the world. So what better three companies could you choose? Hello. But it was a local decision to include those local franchises. This is not for McDonald's nationwide in the mainland yet. Now, it's interesting. So this has been in the making. But guys, so is other things that's been in the making. One of the things that's been in the making for a while now is in China is this social credit system. And we've talked about this in many segments that we've done in the past. This social credit system that China is doing and is implementing is a credit system where it monitors its citizens. They are all on the same system, and they're giving scores like you see on your screen there, those scores. And these scores are generated from whether or not they comply with the government, they're a good citizen, and they do what they're told. They don't defy orders. They don't defy the government. They speak well of the government. They speak well of the leadership. They speak well of the how things are ran. And if they do this, they will be given a high score. And if they're given a high score, they will be able to have a good job. They'll be able to have a good career. They'll be able to travel. They'll be able to buy, sell, and trade. They'll be able to do things that gives them the liberty and the freedom to do this. But if they have a low score, they will be discouraged from getting the best jobs. They will be discouraged from getting the best education. They'll be discouraged from traveling. They'll be discouraged from being able to buy, sell, and trade with the freedom that others that have good scores will not have those restraints on them. So again, you say, well, how's that? But we live in America, brother. We don't live in China. Yes, that's true. But if you think for a moment that this technology and these ideas are not spreading its tentacles outside of China to other nations, I'm here to tell you, you need to wake up. Even our social media, speaking of social credit scores, I don't know if you've noticed, but Facebook alone. I can mention Twitter, but Twitter doesn't ever bother us. I know for us personally speaking, for our ministry, we have never had a problem with Twitter. They've never bothered us. They've never flagged anything we posted. Nothing. Not a single time. But Facebook, on the other hand, has rolled out these third-party fact checkers. And it's a whole, and I don't want to bore you with naming who these people are and these companies and et cetera and et cetera. But it's an algorithm machine system that's working with these companies. And let me just show you how ridiculous this system is. Our ministry, who, by the way, if you know our ministry, anytime we post something, I make sure that I can at least find at least two sources to back it up that's legitimate sources. Because I don't want to be labeled as fake news. So this is why we're very hesitant on reporting any. For example, the recent news that came out with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. There was many sources that I saw posted on social media that he was dead, that Kim Jong-un was dead. Well, I could not find a single credible source to verify or to back up that he was dead. So we didn't touch that. We didn't back it up, or we didn't repeat that article. We didn't post that news. We held off on it. But there were, in the last 2 months, two incidences have taken place that are, and I was going to pull up pictures of this, but out of wisdom, I better not do that because of security reasons. And I don't know if we could get in trouble for that for legality reasons, but trust me when I tell you this. Two stories that broke, one that we got flagged on that was quote-unquote partially true, was a opinion piece that was from a pastor who came out and condemned essential oils and called the burning of certain incenses and oils demonic. It was an opinion piece. We weren't saying that it was true. We weren't saying that we agree with it. It was a simple opinion. It was even labeled opinion. But our ministry got flagged by these third-party fact checkers stating that it was partially true. And when I read the article that was that they posted that comes up underneath it is the fact checking. It was stating that this is false and it's false information. Well, hello, we never said it was true. But the one this week that we got flagged on was tops it all. And that is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but recently there was an alleged prophecy that was all over social media. It blew up all over social media, and it was an alleged prophecy by David Wilkerson. And I shouldn't even, and I'm not going to even say details because I'll probably get flagged on this video if I go into details about it. But it was an alleged prophecy by Wilkerson. And it went all over social media, and there was these little memes that was posted of him, quote unquote, saying it. But I did extensive research on it, looked through, Googled it, looked through books, looked through sermons, could not find anywhere that this man stated or said what he said. And I went to our ministry page on Facebook and stated on there that Wilkerson never said this. And then we found out that it was alleged that he said it in private to someone else. So it was never publicly stated. It was something that was, quote unquote, said privately. Well, we came out and said that this was never publicly stated. And we're going to say that it was false. Well, guess who flagged that post as by their fact checkers that it was false information? You guessed it. Facebook flagged it and said it was false information. So I messaged Facebook and said, hello, we agree with what you're saying. We were never saying it was true. We were stating that it was false information. And you flagged our account saying that it was false information. So guys, listen, what's your point, preacher? My point is these draconian measures are being implemented, not just in China, not just to measure and restrict and monitor their social media. That is here. It's here now. And it doesn't need a person behind a desk to do it. It doesn't need a person behind a computer to do it. They're implementing computer programs, algorithmic computer systems that pick up on keywords, pick up on images, pick up on phrases. And listen, there is many things that our ministry, I won't even share on Facebook anymore. This is why I keep telling you, you got to get our app. You got to go to our main website. You got to subscribe, because there's things that I will not share on Facebook anymore because it will be flagged. And they're removing pages from Facebook because of this goofy stuff. But this is a drop in the bucket compared to where I want to go with this. All right. So now let's talk about this. Speaking of China, United States, there's states here in the U.S. that are now using Chinese drones. Remember the stories that came out of China where they were doing crowd control and they were trying to implement social distancing and quarantine, and they were banning people from coming out of their homes, even to go out and even walk in their backyards and this and that. They were implementing drones to take the skies with megaphones on them, and they were being screamed at from the skies from drones, like you're seeing right here, with megaphones attached to them, telling them to get back into their homes and get back into their shelters and maintain social distancing and comply with the government. That was in China. Well, guess what? Those same drones are now being used here in America. But, well, let's take it a step further. According to CNET, a series of, quote, pandemic drones are now taking part in test flights in a, quote, COVID-19 hotspot in Connecticut, with the goal of monitoring social distancing efforts and detecting virus symptoms. All right, I want to talk about this. Drone manufacturer Dragonfly, hello, Dragon, is working with the police department in Westport, Connecticut, to test the drones located in Fairfield County, adjacent to New York City. Westport was the first town in the state to report several coronavirus infections, according to a Wednesday press release from Dragonfly. These drones include specialized, listen to this, tell me this ain't chilling. These drones are specialized with sensor and computer vision systems that can, quote, display a person's temperature, heart and respiratory rates, as well as to detect people sneezing or coughing in a crowd. The release reported that the technology can accurately detect infectious conditions from 190 feet away, as well as to measure social distancing efforts. The drones don't use facial recognition technology and won't be used at people's private residences, according to a, quote, release from Westport Police Department. Rather, they're used to identify patterns with the population, allowing officials to better track the spread and make decisions about public places while keeping first responders safe, according to the department there in Connecticut. So you're seeing this push, and one of the key phrases you're hearing is social distancing. Well, let's talk about that. According to Futurism, there is an article now that there is a conversation that is now shifting towards what's called contact tracing. Now, what is contact tracing? This, guess where this started from? You guessed it, China. This keeps track of those who tested positive, negative, and those who are at risk of being exposed. As governments grasp for a solution to reopening their economies in a post-peak coronavirus world, the threat of a resurgence is still top of mind. Open too quickly and cases will surge. Too late and the economic consequences will be even more devastating. Quote, than they already are. China has taken the lead with mobile technology that relies on scanning QR codes and an app. The goal is to curb the spread of the coronavirus by indicating who can go where. Let me say that again. The goal of this app, the goal of contact tracing is to determine and to indicate who is able to go where and who can't. Technology now plays a critical role in containing the pandemic, according to an AI expert at China's e-commerce giant, according to one e-commerce China in China. Here's how it works. Quote, Chinese citizens have to give up. Listen to this. I quote, this is according to this quote from Futurism and CNN. Quote, Chinese citizens have to give up their national identity number or passport number, as well as their phone number. So in the name of public safety, health safety, they have to give up their national identity number or their passport number, as well as their telephone number. They download their app. They complete a questionnaire about their travel history, their current symptoms. According to CNN, authorities then verify this information and are assigned a color. Green, yellow, and red. That's interesting. That's the same colored system that Facebook is using right now with their fact-checking system. If you're green, there's no suppression of your news, no suppression of your post. And you can monetize this and you can do this. But if you get violations, it turns yellow, which means caution. And it comes with suppression with your content being suppressed and it's not seen as much. But then you move over into red And now you're at risk of getting your page unpublished. So here we are with this green, yellow, red system with this app that will determine whether or not an individual can safely move about in their residence, shopping, restaurants, doing this and doing that. It's interesting that in this article, it said that, quote, critics argue it could lead to abuses of power and targeting marginalized groups. You think? Wow. 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 So again, and in case you didn't know this, Facebook is already tracking coronavirus symptoms by counties. According to a new report from CNBC, the report concluded that Facebook officially released the first map that tracks symptoms of the virus county by county and plans to update it throughout the outbreak. According to the details of this report, Facebook has partnered with a particular university and its researchers to create an opt-in survey design to help identify COVID-19 hotspots before the cases are even confirmed. This map will break down the percentage of people per county who have self-reported symptoms such as loss of smell, cough, fever. It will show, for example, that 1.45% of people in New York County have reported COVID symptoms. But as you can see in the map below, and we don't have that map, but this is what you see when you go to this, and it's there publicly so you can see this. A huge portion of the map does not have enough participants to show data, but it's picking up pace because people are willing to do this. Facebook has come under fire for its handling of health issues and privacy. So Zuckerberg assured Monday that Facebook can only see the aggregated data. However, Carnegie Mellon researchers, and that's who they're working with, can see individual survey responses. Zuckerberg stated that, quote, social media platforms have an advantage when it comes to helping health researchers since they have access, you ready, to large groups of people. Let me say that again for the back row. Zuckerberg stated that social media platforms, not just Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the WhatsApp app, TikTok, YouTube, all these apps, social media platforms have an advantage when it comes to helping health researchers since they have access to large groups of people. Quote, Facebook is uniquely suited to run these surveys because, quote, we serve a global community of billions of people and can do statistically accurate sampling, Zuckerberg stated in a Facebook post. The company said more than 2 billion people use the platform. So are you guys seeing this trend? Now, I took you, that was our... We're halfway around this track today. Now I'm going to take you on home, and I'm going to show you some alarming things that are happening, not in China, in the United States of America. According to a report, Texas police use undercover sting operations. Let me pull this up real quick, guys. I got some... We've got some slides on that too that I want to show you here so you can go along with this that we can talk about this. Texas police use undercover sting operation to arrest women, ready, not a prostitution ring, not child pornography. No, this was a undercover sting operation in Texas used to arrest women offering salon services in their homes. According to reports, two women were arrested in Laredo, Texas, after they were caught running a, quote, beauty salon inside their homes. The women were arrested during a, quote, undercover sting operation by the Laredo Police Department. officers from the Laredo Police Department were informed of the activities. Now, how were they informed of the activities? I'll give you a hint. They were probably snitched on by neighbors. After all, is it not being encouraged in some states in America? In fact, there's rewards for snitching. Remember one state? We encourage you to snitch. Snitches get rewards. What was it? De Blasio came out and said, if you see something, take a picture of it. Send it to us. Text our number. And we will act swiftly. So somehow they got a leak. They were informed of the activities through an anonymous tip sent to the Laredo Police Department mobile app on the 15th of April. The tipster informed police that these women were advertising salon services on social media. So the police went on an undercover sting operation and arrested these women for offering beauty services from their home. This is America. We're not talking about, this is not somewhere outside of America. This is in America. This is happening. The cops were part of the COVID-19 task force enforcement detail. Laredo police arrested a local Anna Isabel Castro Garcia, 31 years of age, after she allegedly agreed to provide an undercover officer with a manicure. She was charged with, quote, violation of emergency management plan CB. According to local affiliate KGNS-TV, which is an NBC affiliate there in Laredo, Castro, or we'll say Garcia, was taken to the Webb County Jail for booking, where she had held, where she was held on a $500 bond. And Brenda Stephanie Mata, I don't know how you pronounce it, 20 years of age, was arrested after she reportedly agreed to perform eyelash services inside her home for an undercover police officer as well. She was also charged with, quote, violation of emergency management plan CB, and was taken to Webb County Jail and held on a $500 bond. All right. Oh, we got one better. Let me pull this up. Let's take you to, meanwhile, in Ohio, police reportedly broke up a, quote, Amish barn party. What is an Amish barn party? I mean, you know, when I read this story, I thought of, you remember, I don't know, some of you guys won't even know what I'm talking about. So, but his name was Weird Al Yankovic. He used to do these parodies to all these songs. And he wrote, there was a song that Coolio did called Gangster's Paradise. And it was a soundtrack to a movie a long time ago. And Weird Al Yankovic did a parody to it called Amish Paradise. And it's actually a pretty funny song, by the way, just to let you know. I think it's funny anyway. But I thought of that song when I heard this story. But this is not a parody, I hate to tell you. This is a true story. Ohio police broke up an Amish party with over 100 people for violating the, quote, state's stay-at-home order. According to a report, police in Ohio, who broke up this Amish party in a barn over the weekend, it was in violation of the state stay-at-home order. Just after midnight on Saturday, police responded to a tip. They were tipped off about a large gathering in an Amish residence in Huntsburg Township. When they arrived, they found scores of people, roughly 100, drinking and partying together without regard for social distancing policies. Quote, when we got there, there was a barn full of people. Some of them even ran, said the sheriff, according to WJW-TV. There was one that was so intoxicated he could not run, and that person had to be transported by an ambulance. The local news outlet said the deputies arrested one individual for disorderly conduct and issued a summons for another violating the stay-at-home order. Two others were also charged for underage drinking. Quote, there is some concern out there, and we are getting reports of large gatherings happening. quote, if we get these calls or we find out about them, we are going to go there and we're going to break them up and get them out of there. Quote, we will not tolerate this and we have to keep everybody safe. All right. Then we have, let's take you to California, where a woman was organized, where a woman organized a quote freedom rally. Some of y'all heard about this, and because this was going live on Facebook before Facebook decided to ban these organizations on their platform. So that's not going to happen anymore. Facebook went, cut it off. We're not going to have it. And I could elaborate on that and say some stuff, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut out of wisdom. I'll just say this. It's interesting that other rallies in the past took place that were violent, but Facebook never shut those down, and they continued. That's all I'm going to say about that. We're going to move on. Be good. Be good, Brother Ricky. Don't get yourself in trouble. We're going to move on. A woman was organized last weekend. She organized a freedom rally in downtown San Diego, which opposed the stay-at-home orders due to the coronavirus, is now, quote, facing arrest and possible misdemeanor charges that could result in her spending 90 days in jail, a $1,000 fine. Naomi Israel, 27 years of age, was one of the hundreds who demonstratively opposed California stay-at-home orders during a freedom rally Saturday afternoon in front of the Hall of Justice. Israel is being reported by the Center for American Liberty. Israel is being represented by the Centers for American Liberty, a nonprofit organization, has also challenged the state's stay-at-home order on various fronts, including filing a lawsuit against Governor Gavin Newsom last week for prohibiting in-person church services. Israel took to Facebook. Oh, by the way, don't have a church service. Can't have that. Can't have drive-in services. Can't have that. Even though you're in your car, windows up, distance apart, we can't have that. But Minnesota and Minneapolis in Minnesota, they're now, for the first time in history, they're allowing mosques there to broadcast prayers five times a day during Ramadan. Now, I don't know. I can't publicly say if they're allowing them to gather in the mosque in person, so I'm not going to say that they can because I don't know. I don't have that information. But I wonder what would happen if, because I know churches that are having drive-in services, and if they blow their horn too much, then it's called disruption of peace, disrupting the neighborhood. And police will show up and break that up. So what would happen if we had a prayer service or a worship service or a regular service and we put that on megaphones and we broadcasted that out into the streets of where we live? How fast would that shut down? Come on, guys. I mean, is anybody else, are you awake out there? Think about that. But this woman, again, is facing many charges, offenses. Israel's being represented again for the Center for American Liberty, a nonprofit organization. Israel took to Facebook on Wednesday to discuss the case, writing, quote, I will be arrested on Sunday for exercising my, quote, constitutional rights. So, guys, that's what we've got for you today. This is a lot to digest, and it's a lot to take in. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing rolls out. What's next? What's the next phase? What's the next stage? What's around the pike? Is this thing going to ease up in May? How's it going to go with Georgia? How's it going to go with Texas and other states that are opening up? What's going to happen if there's a resurgence of positive cases? What's going to happen if new hotspots emerge? The CDC, World Health Organization, are already saying that, you know, they're issuing caution, saying, no, we need to wait and go beyond the summer. And then others are getting out saying there's going to be what, you know, they're warning of a second wave coming in the fall. So we've got a lot out here that's in perspective that's going on. So we wanted to get you up to date today on what's going on. And again, we appreciate you coming on here. Listen to our podcast, coming on YouTube, coming on Facebook Live. We appreciate you guys, your support. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to hear and to keep up with this and what's going on around the nation. Right there, what you see right there on your screen on YouTube and on Facebook Live is we want to encourage you to subscribe to our free podcast. You can find these at Apple and you can find it at Spotify. We're on Apple and Spotify, and it's free. If you've not subscribed to our podcast, we want to encourage you to do that, and you can do that today. Also, if you've not done it yet, please subscribe to our free official ETH app. I cannot stress enough, you need to get our app. Why? Because it's free. Come on, man. Everybody likes something free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a free app. It's available on Android. It's available on Apple. It's smooth. It operates smoothly. It's going to keep you up to date with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. It's going to give you breaking news alerts. It's going to keep you up to date. It's going to give you our podcast, our YouTube messages. Everything's going to be right there at your fingertips, right there in your hand with the official app. So if you have not downloaded the app yet, you need to do it right now. You guys on podcast listening to me, again, it's on Android, it's on Apple. Just type in End Time Headlines and you'll find it there, and it's free. And we want to encourage you to download that official ETH app. So as always, guys, we want to thank you for coming on here today. Thank you for your prayers for this ministry. Thank you for your support. Listen, if you're still praying about being a supporter of our ministry, we want to encourage you, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Again, all of our messages are free. Our updates are free. Our app's free. Our subscription base is free. Our newsletters are free. Everything is free to you. All we ask is if this ministry is a blessing to you, it's a ministry that informs you, it equips you, it edifies you, and it blesses you, we want to encourage you to sow back into this ministry with maybe it's a one-time gift, or maybe you want to partner with us. We have many partners that support us on a monthly basis that help us to keep doing. Listen, your support, guys, is what enabled us to create an app for free. And this app was not cheap. We're talking about several thousands of dollars. But through your generous support, we made that happen. And it's available. So when you guys sow into this ministry, not only are you sowing seed to partake in helping get the word out, because every time somebody downloads that app, you have seed in that. You're getting the word out. You're getting the message out. You're getting the gospel out. You're informing people and you're partaking of that. You're co-laboring with that. Every penny that we get in the ministry, we tithe it out to feeding the poor, the homeless, and the widow, the orphans. So there's ministry expenses. We tithe, we give. So all that is configured in that. So again, you can give electronically by going to our app. If you have our app, you can go down there. There's a little button at the bottom to the right. It says give or donate. You just click on that, and it's going to enable you to do that. If you go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, click on there. You're going to see many places you can give and support our ministry, giving by electronic ways. Or you can give by check or money order through End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, and that's Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. So as always, again, thank you for your generous offerings, your gifts, your blessing, your contribution to this ministry, and your prayers. We covet your prayers above anything. Thank you for praying and interceding for our ministry and our family and for me personally. I can't tell you the gratitude and thanksgiving that I have for your prayers and intercession on a continual basis. Listen, guys, we want to make an announcement real quick. We've got the fourth and final message of our series on Revelation chapter 13. It's going to be on the Mark of the Beast. That's coming up this week. Probably look for that on Thursday or Friday. We're going to get that out. We're about halfway done on the notes on that. And we'll have to get the slides, the pictures and all that to go with that. We'll put it all together. We'll get that message and we'll get that out there and we'll finish up this series on Revelation 13. So we're excited about that. We'll probably start another series after that is finished. And of course we've got our updates. We want to give you an update. There's some breaking news that came out today, dealing with the, with food shortages. And I want to talk about that segment. We'll probably get some more guests on here. We had Jason Armstrong on here not too long ago. We had Daniel Baker on here. We did an audio segment with him, but we're going to get him back on here now that we've got new technology to get him back on here where you can see him face to face and it's much better video quality and audio. We're going to get him back on. We're going to talk about some stuff, talk about the Lord. I'm going to share my personal testimony every so often, about every year, every 2 years, because we get new people come on here. I'm going to share, I think it's been about a year or two now. I'm going to share my personal testimony of how I came to the Lord. And I think that'll be a great blessing to many people as well. So, all right. So guys, we're going to sign off today. Again, we love you guys on podcasts, YouTube, and on Facebook. Again, let us know your feedback. We appreciate your support. And as always, make sure you share this, this ministry, share this broadcast to others so they can be informed as well. So God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.